Well, there's no doubt that that song actually is from a Visit Melbourne video, and I'm using it as a bit of an intro to the fact that Melbourne's the Australian capital of the cafe culture. The city is littered with casual-style dining. There's plenty of choices for good food and great coffee without a huge price tag. But maybe you'd like to take the concept of the cafe into your own home. Well, there is a way. Stuart McKenzie has written All Day Cafe, and he spoke with Adelaide Ng today.
Stuart, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you.
You apparently know something about Melbourne's cafe culture. Can you tell us a bit about your background, your experience in the area?
Well, I've sort of lived in Melbourne most of my life. And I think from an early age, my brother moved out of home when he was quite young. So he introduced us to, as a family, to lots of different eateries on Brunswick Street and Smith Street. And I think it was always sort of part of my upbringing from the age of about 15 or 16. We'd often go out on Saturday mornings for breakfast, and I sort of continued to do that all my life, really. Even having my own business, I still like to go out to other places and have breakfast too.
Okay, so you're a huge fan of the Melbourne cafe culture.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think it keeps our city sort of buoyant, and it has a nice feeling on the weekends when you see everybody out and about catching up with friends. It's a nice time of the day, I think, to see people, especially as you get older. I'm often in bed quite early, so if I want to see lots of friends en masse, it's a good opportunity to do so, I think.
And this is despite coming from a home where cooking was something you did just to fill stomachs rather than, you know, a kitchen space to experiment and to be adventurous with flavours. So this is something that you've totally owned.
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, my mum was a really good cook, but she was very, she had a certain sort of repertoire. And I think, you know, as my siblings started to move out of the house, it was less and less interesting for her to cook. I mean, often you hear of people that are single, for example, saying that it's not as exciting cooking a nice gourmet meal for one. So they're more likely to invite somebody over. But as everyone started moving out, I think mum lost a bit of interest in it, and no wonder, she'd been cooking for some time. But my brother Paul was a chef, and so he sort of brought an influence into our home again when he started his apprenticeship and experimenting with food and learning different tricks. And then when I moved out of home, I started experimenting a bit myself and working in kitchens too.
So it sounds like food has been in the DNA of your family, just, you know, a bit of a late bloomer.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
You know, Melbourne's cafe culture, it wasn't always like this, of course. How did it become something so integral now to the city's character?
I'm not sure. Like, I think a lot of it seems to be attributed to some of the pioneers. I mean, that sort of goes back as far as Mercamora, people like that. But, I mean, the big influences in my life were people like the two Mario's that had Mario's Cafe in Brunswick Street, and the people that I used to work for that had Blue Train Cafe. There's lots of people along the way that have had a real mark in the industry.
Do you think there's something about Melbourne's, I guess, you know, the ambience in Melbourne? I mean, we tend to have a name for being a little bit formal, and, you know, the people always wear black. But at the same time, there's also a very casual side to Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how we got that sort
We've
of
got
mantle,
that juxtaposition,
to be honest
yeah.
with you. But I guess, you know, because we do have maybe a little bit more of a European-style city, and because we do tend to have four quite defined seasons, at least, like on the weekends, if it's raining, you can sort of go and still be sociable and see your friends. And be out and about while, you know, dining together, even if it's howling with rain. My cafe is often busiest when it's really poor weather.
Everyone runs in and
yeah, pretty much.
Grabs
I think when it's a nice
good,
day,
nice
they go
cup of coffee
in the park or, you know, hang out, you know, outdoors. But I think when it's raining, everyone gets a bit sort of housebound, so they want to head out.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't blame them. I'd be among them, I think. But what is the secret behind a great cafe? I mean, do you put it down just to good food, coffee, decent price? Are those things enough?
Well, it's probably the detail. It's that you have to want to be in the industry. you have to care about the result, and you have to care about people. You have to be welcoming. But, you know, it's a difficult thing because you have to get the right staff too, and that can be tricky. And sometimes you can have it all fantastically and then a few people leave and you start again. So it is a constant assessment of what you're doing and what other people are doing and moving forward, making sure that you're reasonably priced and consistent. Consistency is really important, I think.
But I think many people do dream about setting up a cafe. It's a romantic idea, but you're just saying that it's not as easy as it sounds. So just quite a few things to think about. Are there some really big mistakes you've seen some cafes make?
Sometimes I walk past places and I think they could just turn their lights down a little bit. Sometimes they can be really bright. But there is a lot of different elements to having a cafe, I think, that you've got to get right, not just lighting. You've got to have the right layout and ambience and things. You've got to get the feeling right with the staff and the mentality that you have of the people working there. You've got to have a chef that's creative but also works as a team player. You've got to have the right location, I think, as well. And you've got to make sure that your overheads aren't going to drown you in the end. Sometimes I will see people opening cafes or restaurants in areas that I know that are very expensive for rental. And I think, wow, that's a really big thing to have hanging over your head when you haven't even opened yet. You know, some of the rents can be astronomical. So you've got to do your homework a bit too, I think.
Wow, that's quite a few boxes to tick off, I think, before you even start. But let's get to creating that cafe culture in your home, which is what your book is about. We'll get to the food in a moment, but it seems to me that cafe culture is a lot about the ambience, as you were just spelling out. You know, the kind of furnishings, the cutlery, it's got to be wooden, it's rustic or industrial. Am I too far off track?
No. We just try to make sure that, like, we in Melbourne, we went through a stage there where I thought every cafe sit-out seemed to be marble and glass and brushed steel, and it just sort of started to look a bit cold for a while and unimaginative. And apart from anything, it also becomes very noisy because you've got lots and lots of hard surfaces. So part of my background is sort of doing design and making something out of nothing, being a bit eclectic with my choices. So some things are new, some things are vintage, and mixing it all up a bit, but making sure that it sort of works for everybody. I don't really have a target audience. I don't really mind if someone's 9 or 39 or 99. I want everybody to come in and feel
welcome.
With the space.
How do you do that at home, though? I mean, how do you, you know, that cafe vibe at home? I mean, well, I guess we're not all stylists, and I'm just wondering if there are some easy tricks when you talk about mixing things up. But you need someone who knows what they're doing, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there are a few tips in there. I mean, one thing that we do every winter is we get oak leaves and we hang them all above the bar, and that's something that's kind of relatively free. Like, if you know an arborist or something that's cutting down an oak tree, you can get the branches for nothing and the oak leaves don't fall at all. So, like, you can kind of put them above the dining table or in the hallway. There's lots of little things that don't cost a lot of money that you can do just to be a bit creative.
Yeah, and I do like some of the tips in your book, you know, advice like how to use flowers for ambience. And I've never thought about this before, but no perfumed flowers near any food.
Yeah, I think it's a bit off-putting, actually. You can have them in the toilet. They work really well there. But we don't really put perfume candles or flowers on the table because it kind of throws the scent of the food off a bit.
Yeah. And also the food. I mean, plenty of recipes in the book, and it looks really good, by the way. I'm loving just, you know, the pictures just make the whole book pop out, and it's so cafe. What's easy to start with, and what do we need to take, you know, boring old cereal and milk, I guess, to the next level?
Well, most of the dishes are pretty easy. Some of them are sort of designed too that if you've got people coming over for dinner that you can sort of do them in advance. Like, some of the recipes are slow cooking, which just usually means sort of like a salted rub and putting something in the oven for 4 hours or 5 hours. But even like, you know, the granola recipes and things are very, very simple. It's usually just sort of, like with the Birch Muesli in particular, it's usually just adding all the ingredients and soaking it overnight. The granola is a similar sort of thing. Rubbing all the ingredients together, popping them in a bowl, drizzling a little bit of honey over the top, mixing it all through and putting it on a tray and putting it in an oven. It's really simple.
It sounds like you've done it a million times.
I think I have. Well, maybe not that many, but a lot.
It's a great book, and you do say there was a period in your life when you learned to throw some pretty impressive parties, even on the tightest budgets, and I can see that with the tips you've littered through the book that you're well speaking from experience. So congratulations on the book. It's called All Day Cafe, and Stuart McKenzie runs the South of Johnston Cafe in Melbourne, a.k.a. Sojo.
Thank you.
Sojo sounds good. It's not even in Soho. It's in it's in Fitzroy.
Oh, can I tell you, to excite you as well, there is a recipe that he has kindly given us for our listeners. So if you are interested in a recipe for pappardelle with duck ragu, it's going to be on our Facebook page. So look up facebook.com. I think it's / Travel Writers Radio.
Could maybe also go on SoundCloud.
Could it? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we'll
so
try to manage
another option
that.
Too.
We'll put a picture there for you just so you know what it's supposed to look like at the end.
Ragu's always good.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was you, Adelina, with Stuart McKenzie.